I want us to think about two things this morning: position and practice. Position and practice. When you are born again, you are positioned in Christ, a new creation. You become a son of God, amen, a joint heir with Jesus. Positionally in Christ, because of his righteousness, you become the righteousness of God in him. God declares that you are holy in him. Positionally, we're forgiven. Positionally, amen, we're in right standing in Christ. But then there is the practice of the faith. So understanding our identity, who we are in the new creation, and living from that place, that position of having been made right with God, having been forgiven. Come on. We now have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that is something that we are attempting to work towards or achieve in our own human efforts, but of simply faith in God's promise. It's a huge difference. Believing versus working. When we work, amen, when you know who you are in position in Christ, then you will practice, amen, outwardly. You will bear the fruit of who you are in Christ. So God accepts that which is from him, if you will. You know, our righteousness is like what? Filthy rags. Self-righteousness is not acceptable to God. Yeah. So we can all think, well, I'm a do-gooder. I've done a lot of good things. I'm a good person because I do good things. Well, if God makes you good in Christ, and then truly you are good in him because he is your goodness. And then you practice that goodness outwardly. So it's being in Christ, first of all, and then our conduct, our outward conduct, okay, is what we're working on right now. That means that what I do in my body needs to agree with who I am in Christ. If I choose to sin, I'm acting outside of my new character, if you will. I'm out of character of who I really am as a child of God. Amen? In Christ, I'm holy because of him. All right? And you won't live holy until you start to believe you are holy. Otherwise, you're trying to attain holiness by your works. And by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified. So human effort does not create or produce the righteousness of God. That was why the cross was necessary. We could not save ourselves, no matter how good we did. The problem was we were born sinful and separated. And so we needed someone to take our place, to pay the price for that sin, because we could not pay for our own sin. Sin cannot pay for sin. It required a righteous sacrifice, a sinless sacrifice. So that sin that we had committed was placed upon Jesus Christ. He placed upon him the iniquity of us all. So we are only righteous in Christ, but not in ourselves. And if you don't get that right, you will continually live defeated, because you're always going to be striving for some unattainable standard. Come on. And you're going to be self-condemned. I don't know about you, but I've condemned myself a lot in life, even as a believer. Instead of just understanding this is all about a relationship with the Holy Spirit, amen, with the Lord, doing life together with him, living free from condemnation, understanding that I have been justified freely through the grace which is in Christ Jesus. So if you are in Christ Jesus, if you're in Christ, you are a new creation. You have to live from that mindset, amen, that I am no longer a slave to sin, but a child of God. So when a baby is born, that baby is a complete human being. Amen. But the baby doesn't remain a baby. Amen. The baby needs to grow up and to discover what it is to be an adult. Born again, we're like that babe. Amen. But it's a discovery process, a renewing of our minds through the knowledge of the truth to realize who I am now, not what others have said, not even what I thought about myself, but what God says about me now, who God says I am in Him. If you want to live free, you got to believe you are free. You see, some people will say, well, I'm trying to be a good Christian. How is that working for you? You need to be a Christian. You need to accept your identity as a son, as a daughter, no longer under condemnation, but set free from the power of sin. I consider myself dead indeed to sin, but alive unto God in Christ. So God wants us to live from our new identity as sons and daughters in Christ. The title of the message this morning is Complete in Christ. We need to believe we have already been liberated from the power of sin. In Christ, we can now live righteously by the power of the Holy Spirit. Romans 6:22, but now having been set free from sin, having become slaves of God, once we were slaves of sin, now we're slaves to God, if you will, you have your fruit to holiness and the end, everlasting life. So God does not want us living from a performance-based approach to our relationship with Him. It would be like a child trying to do all these good things so that mom and dad would love them. And unfortunately, in some families, that's the way it is. If the son doesn't do well enough, he doesn't get any approval. Rather, that child understanding that my father loves me no matter how I play. He was rooting for me out on the baseball field, amen? And I came up to bat and I had every intention to hit a home run. Instead, I struck out, amen? And I had my head down all the way back to the bench. But guess what? My father still loved me, no matter how I played. Why? Because I'm his son. When we understand that, when we understand the love that God has for us, amen? You don't want to do the things that disappoint, that grieve your Father. He puts in us a new heart, a heart that now desires to do the things that please Him. Amen? And when we get out of character, we get back into that old man, if you will. Amen? We're miserable. We can't live there anymore. Why? We're dead to that old life. In Christ, I'm a new creation. So God wants us to live from the place of having been forgiven and accepted by Him, not based upon our performance, but based upon Christ's righteousness, His sacrifice. Colossians 2:13, and you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, He has made alive together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses. See, Paul was constantly butting heads with those who were the legalists of his day, who are saying, yes, we have faith in Jesus, but you also have to obey all these laws and these rules. So they were confused. Okay, and they were caught up in bondage still because, you know, they were receiving something that gosh, actually had passed away, was no longer something that they needed to submit to. Instead, they were to submit themselves to a person. They were to submit themselves to Christ now and walk in a relationship with Him and obey that law of the Spirit of life in Christ that's written on our hearts by the Spirit that's within us, who says, this is the way, walk in it. And the legalist has a problem with this message because they pride themselves on how well they think they're doing until they fail, and now they're condemned in themselves, that is. So God wants His people liberated from self-saving. Amen? Colossians 2:9, for in Him, Christ, dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And verse 10, here it is, and you are what? Complete in Him. I've just been kind of meditating on that. Complete in Him, who is the head of all principality and power. That word complete means leveled off. Amen? Leveled up, fully furnished, fully supplied. So we're fully furnished, fully supplied in Christ. So it's a matter of discovery of who we are now as a new creation. Our minds are being renewed. God's weaning us off the slave mentality that we've been born with, that we've lived with, that performance thing, measuring up, fitting in. How many of you know what I'm talking about? I got to fit in with the crowd. I got to try to be like these people if I'm going to be with them. Come on, being in bondage to people's opinions all your life. And so we're no longer living under the law of sin and death, but according to the law of the Spirit of life. Here it is, Romans 8:2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has what? Made me free from the law of sin and death. So every mandate from God is impossible to facilitate from human effort. God said to ancient Israel, be holy as I am holy. Well, God is perfectly holy. Amen? And He's saying, you need to be perfectly holy like me. Leviticus 11:45, for I am the Lord who brings you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. You shall therefore be holy, for I am holy. Wow, that's a pretty high standard, guys. Would you agree? How many would agree with me, for all have sinned and fallen short? All right. Now that is perfect. God is perfect. God is holy. And God wants holiness from His people. Amen. But we cannot live holy until we become holy. Till we are holy. Now, Peter quoted this same passage in relationship to the church in 1 Peter 1:15. He says, but as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. That means conversation or outward behavior. Because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. Holy means morally blameless or pure. So He was referring to our conduct here as God's people. Not identity. Not who we are, but how we are to live. All right. Now, don't hang with me, because it all flows out of the grace of God. The Christian life is impossible apart from the Lord and His ability that He supplies to us. So we're not relying on ourselves to achieve holiness. Instead, we live from a place of being made right with God. Amen. And now, by the grace of God, we can control what we do in our bodies. So we're living from a position of being accepted by God in Christ. And Jesus said, if the tree is good, what? The fruit will be good. Right? Matthew 12:33. So if the heart is good, the life will be good also. So if our faith is not in Christ alone, then we may be tempted to seek justification by what we do, rather than what Christ has done for us. See, this is what differentiates us from every religion under the sun, Amen. It's not what we can do for God. It's what God did for us first. And out of love, we give ourselves back to Him. Amen. To honor Him in our lives. But not as a means of being made right. But because we are in right standing with God. Amen. We can have fruit unto holiness. We can store for ourselves treasure in heaven. Colossians 3:12. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved. Who, me? Holy and beloved in Christ, yes. Put on tender mercies. He's like, put it on like a garment. He's saying, this is supposed to be your conduct as a child of God, as you represent Him. Mercy, right? Kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering. Verse 13, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so also you must do. And here again, Paul is referring to our conduct. So we can only produce the fruit of holiness if we are holy in the Lord. If we know we are loved and accepted, we can live a life of love. If we know we are forgiven, we can forgive others. If we know we have eternal life, listen, we can live free from condemnation. You see, some people are living their entire life not knowing what happens if I die, even as Christians. So they're just trying to live such an exemplary life that hopefully I've done enough good that God will save me in the end when I take my last breath. Are you hearing me? That's a place of bondage. God wants you to walk in the freedom that's in Christ. Maintain that freedom. Amen. Because your confidence is not in what you do, but in the grace of God. It's in the mercy of God. I put my faith in Christ alone and not in myself. Whenever I start putting faith in me and my ability to be faithful, I keep falling short, way short, and I keep coming back under that self-condemnation thing again. And the enemy wants to keep people bound by that because he doesn't want you serving God. He wants you always caught up in your head and your own problems. God didn't say become holy here, by the way. He says, but be holy. You see it? He says, be holy. He didn't say become, but he said, be holy, for I am holy. So there's a big difference between being and becoming. I looked these up. How do you define being? Being means living from a place of existing. All right? It means existing. It means living from the place of having been made complete, having been made complete in Christ. Becoming requires human effort to measure up to a certain standard of holiness. God's perfect standard is Christ. In ourselves, we are incapable of achieving that standard. Come on. Lord, I thank you that I'm not like other men. Look what I do. Thank God he doesn't hold our past against us. Amen. But God wants us to understand that if it wasn't for the mercy of God, none of us would be saved. Period. It's only because of his mercy we're saved. It's not because I'm a good person. So the best thing we can do is just get over ourselves. Quit comparing ourselves to others. Quit competing with others. Humble yourself before the Lord, and he'll lift you up. And honor. You've heard it said, just be yourself instead of trying to be someone you're not. How many have said that? How many have thought that to yourself? Just be yourself. Well, if you're still an Adam and you're just being yourself, well, that's not a pretty picture. Come on. So a person who's still in Adam, not in Christ, not born again, being themselves, it can be all kinds of things. Amen? However, I remember when I was in Adam before I came into Christ that I knew how to put on certain behaviors around certain people. Are you following? So if I'm going to be around those people, I got to act a little differently. So they'll think I'm all that. So I'll kind of fit in with them. You know, around those creepy Christian people. So I got to kind of clean up my potty mouth a little bit here because I'm around Christians now. Are you hearing me? So while you're in Adam, okay, you can learn how to pose. You can learn how to play a role. And of course, playing a role means you're a hypocrite. That's what it means, right? Stage player, actor. So you can not be a Christian, but try to act like a Christian. You ever heard her say, oh, there's a lot of hypocrites in the church. What a better place. What a good place for them to be. Praise God. Hopefully they'll get converted. Amen. You get from playing Christian and being a Christian. All right. You become a Christian through Christ. And then you can be a Christian. When you're the planting of the Lord, then you can bear the fruit of the Lord. When you receive that new nature, that new heart, He puts a spirit within you, cries out, Abba, Father, Amen. Now you can have fruit unto eternal life. Hallelujah. And so you can't get caught up between law and grace again and trying to, yes, I trust in Jesus, but I've got to do all these things to be acceptable to God. When you walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, Amen, we get to enjoy the fellowship of the Lord. Amen. And when you're in fellowship with somebody and you get to know somebody, you know how they tick. You know what they like and what they don't like. You know what they would approve of and what they disapprove of. Amen. Because you have a relationship with this person and you know if you grieve that person or not, or you made that person happy. Are you hearing me? So it's relationship that God wanted from the very beginning. Even as Adam walked with God in the cool of the day, it was always about a relationship with his creation. And not his creation trying to achieve some kind of standard to reach maybe this God that's somewhere out there. You know, it's bondage to try to live up to a standard that's impossible to achieve. And God says, I'm going to do it for you. You cannot live up to my standard. I'm going to come and become like you, like Adam, become a man. Amen. And I'm going to live up to that perfect standard of my own word, fulfilling all righteousness. And where Adam had failed, I'm going to succeed. Are you hearing me? Christ lived a sinless life. The only one who lived a sinless life. And the only one that qualified to be our sacrifice. And aren't you glad that we have an advocate with the Father now? The risen, resurrected King. Hallelujah. Our great high priest who ever lives to make intercession for us. He prays for us to the Father. Now we can come with boldness by the blood of Jesus and the assurance that God has forgiven me and covers me in His blood. Amen. Not based upon my performance, but based upon the fact that I am now a son in the kingdom of my Father. Amen. And as a son, I don't have to beg to come into the house. I can come with confidence now into the throne of my Father by the way of the blood. Amen. If a sinner was to come into God's presence, he would be instantly struck dead. Amen. That's why they put those bells around their high priest, amen, on their ankles in a rope. When they went behind that curtain, amen, into the Holy of Holies once a year with the blood of the sacrifice, because if he was not holy, he would be struck dead by the sheer holiness of God. And then the bell stopped ringing. They knew something was wrong. And they would have to drag a corpse out. Are you hearing me? So now, because of what Jesus did, because of his blood, because of his righteousness, we can come confidently, boldly into the throne of grace. Aren't you glad? We can be reconciled to the Father of our spirits. God created mankind for fellowship. So just be yourself. How about just be yourself in the Lord now? Amen. When you're born again, you just be yourself. Amen. I'm a believer. I'm a child of God. All right? So what does a child of God do? He lives, amen, a righteous life. He lives a holy life. He lives a life that pleases the Lord. Not as a means of justification, but because of justification, I can now live a holy life. I can produce the fruit of God because the Holy One is in me. So if you're still in Adam, then you're still in death. And therefore, you cannot produce any fruit that God accepts. But if you're in Christ, your life will now be a reflection of Him. So again, some people are trying to become a Christian. And others are just being a Christian. So instead of striving to become a Christian, start accepting the fact that you are a Christian because Christ is in you. Isn't it say that? Christ in you, the hope of glory? So a person, again, trying to be someone they're not would be considered a what? A hypocrite. So what's my responsibility as a believer? It's to reflect Christ in my conduct. The inner life, amen, being expressed outwardly. My new nature, who I am, amen, in Christ, being expressed openly, outwardly. So as I submit myself to God in the Spirit, amen, in my heart, I allow Him, hallelujah, to give me the grace to do what pleases Him outwardly. By the grace of God, we can accomplish the will of God. If I'm in Him who is holy, then I can live holy. Is this making sense? If I'm righteous in Christ, then my life will reflect His holiness. Again, Colossians 2:10, you are complete in Him who is the head of all principality and power. Now listen, is what Jesus did for me enough? Okay, or do I need to add something else to the process to become complete in Him? No. We live from the place of completion. All right? But outwardly, our conduct, amen, is to be an expression of who we are inwardly. Because you can always live, amen, and resurrect, if you will, that old sin nature, and you can obey it, but you don't have to. Why? You've been set free from the power of it in Christ. Amen. So you put to death the misdeeds of your body, amen? You say, no, absolutely not. I'm not going to bow down to that anymore. Why? I'm free from it in Christ. I can do all things through Christ. He strengthens me. Amen. So listen to what Paul said to the Galatians. Galatians 3 and 1. Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified? This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh or by human effort? Do you get it? Have you suffered so many things in vain, even opposition, even persecution, because of their testimony, if indeed it was in vain? Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? We know the answer. Just as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Therefore, know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham, or those who are justified before God. No amount of personal goodness is going to redeem me, save me. Are you hearing me? Make me acceptable to God. God only accepts the sacrifice of Jesus. If it wasn't for the cross, we would all be without hope. But Jesus paid it all. And all to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. We are debtors, amen, not to live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit now. Out of gratitude, we give our lives back to Him. What about the Christian disciplines, such as fasting, prayer, Bible study, giving, serving? These are all important, would you agree? But they're not the means of being made right with God. These things should be the result of our faith in Christ. You see, some people, they get caught up in that thing. If I'm doing all these things, then God should like me a little more and give me a few more extra favors in my life. Are you hearing me? How about the greatest thing is that I'm not going to hell, thank God. Amen. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I am a child of God today. Amen. If God didn't do anything else for me, praise God that my soul is secure in Him. Amen. I'm not trusting in my goodness anymore. I'm not depending on my willpower to live righteous. Amen. I'm submitting my will to His will now, and He gives me the power by His Holy Spirit to do what's right in my outward body. Amen. That's why we pray. And the Holy Spirit, and that's why we worship. That's why we come before Him and ask Him for the grace we need, the strength we need in our spirit. Amen. So we have the ability to better overcome, amen, our outer man. And how many remember your body is your servant, not your master? It is to serve the Lord. Amen. And it belongs to Him. It is His temple now. Philippians 2:13, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do for His good pleasure. So if we're going to do any boasting, let's boast in the Lord. Amen? Look what the Lord has done. Hallelujah. I can't be who I am today without the Lord, and neither can you. You're only who you are today by the grace of God, and not because you're anything or I'm anything. It's God who makes us good. God who makes us right. God who supplies our needs. God who provides the strength, the power we need. So how do you see yourself today? Do you see yourself as complete or incomplete? A work in progress? But who is working in you? It's God who's working in you both to will and to do. Come on. I'm not trying to achieve, okay, holiness. I'm not trying to be a Christian. I just need to be a Christian. I need to accept the fact that Christ accepts me. Amen. God accepts me based upon the merits of Jesus' blood, His righteousness alone. And having been made right with Him, I have peace with God. Now I can have fruit unto holiness because I'm no longer living in condemnation. Amen. Hallelujah. I don't have to live in guilt or in shame. Amen. My conscience, hallelujah, can be sprinkled by the blood of Christ. Amen. If we sin, we have an advocate with the Father. Just simply call out to Him. Amen. Receive that grace, that mercy, and get back in the race and keep on moving. Amen. Don't let the devil beat you down. Amen. And put you back in charge of saving yourself. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. He says, I dare not trust the sweetest frame, speaking of my own human ability, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. You need to see yourself. How does God see you? You need to see yourself as God sees you. Complete, leveled up, fully furnished, fully supplied in Christ. So we're encouraged, 2 Peter 3:18, to do these things, to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. To Him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. Grow means to increase. How do I increase? Through the knowledge of Him. Oh, come on. Through renewal process in my thinking. So my thoughts and men are in harmony with who I am in the Lord and who He is in me. It says, grace and peace be multiplied to you, 2 Peter 1:2, in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue. This is all throughout the New Testament, amen? And this was the message from the beginning. Amen, that God was not going to hold our sins against us anymore. He was going to put His Spirit in us. Amen, give us a new heart. We were going to become sons and daughters. We were going to enjoy a relationship, a restored relationship with Him. Amen, we could do life now with Jesus. Hallelujah, how great is that? Amen, we're no longer under all the hundreds of laws. Amen, and rules. And if you break one of them, well, you're condemned. Are you hearing me? No, we live by the rule of the Spirit of life in Christ. Christ in me is my hope of glory. I'm not depending on me to save me. I'm depending on Jesus, amen, to save me. He is my Savior. My eyes are upon Him. He is the author and the finisher of my faith. He's the one that's begun a good work in me, and He's faithful to complete that work. Amen. I'm not trusting in myself anymore. Hallelujah. And by the grace of God, I can live a life that honors Him. So we need to continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord. Amen. So we may come to know who we are in Him and who He is in us. In other words, we need to become mature adults. Amen. In the Spirit. Become like Jesus, Christ-like. We are to reflect His image, amen, in this world. And the simplest illustration of that is one I've used and I've heard, but it's as the moon reflects the sun. Mm-hmm. What is my responsibility? To look into the Lord. Look to the Lord. Look to the Lord. Come on. And we will reflect His glory, come on, in the darkened world around us. The moon lights up the night. Amen? So turn your eyes upon Jesus and look full in His wonderful face, worshiping Him in spirit and in truth, doing life together with God. Amen? For the kingdom is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Aren't you glad that we have access to the Lord? Amen. Does He dwell in you? Is Christ in you? Amen. Then you have the hope of glory. Everything you have need of is freely given to you in Christ. Amen. He has made available to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him, through coming to know what is freely given to us in Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. That's good preaching, she said. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, we love You. We appreciate You. We want to honor You, Lord. We want to live for You. We want to shine for You, Jesus. Lord, we just pray that You to just keep us close to You, Lord, that we will walk carefully with You, walk close with You. That we'll rely upon You, lean on You for the grace that we need each day. Lord, that we might live a life that reflects You in this dark world. Lord, we're asking that You would use us as Your vessels this coming year. That we will serve You in Your interests, Lord, in this world. We pray, Lord, for the lost. We pray for salvation. For the lost, for healing. And for deliverance and all the things You do, Lord. Lord, we want to be a vessel that You'll use to bring life, Lord. Hallelujah, to others. Have Your way in me. Lord, this is my desire. To honor You. Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. This is my desire to honor You, Lord, with all my heart, I worship You. I give you praise. All that I adore is in you. Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake, Lord, have your